We've been talking about Peter's sermon on the first Pentecost Sunday. Jesus has been crucified. He's been raised from the dead. He's ascended back into heaven. And now the Jews have assembled in Jerusalem for the feast day. Peter tells them that they've crucified Jesus, that they have rejected the one that God sent to tell them how to get into the kingdom of heaven. They are upset with themselves for crucifying Jesus, no doubt. Anyway, the record says they were cut to the heart after they heard what Peter had to say. And they said to the rest of the apostles and Peter, this is in Acts, the second chapter, verse 37. Brothers, what shall we do? We have killed Jesus. We have rejected the one that God sent to call us. And this is what Peter said. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, we talked last week about what they understood repentance meant. It was a change of heart, and that change of heart prompted a change in behavior. What did they understand about baptism? Well, they knew what it was. John the Baptist had preached about baptism. He had been baptizing out in the Jordan River because there was a lot of water there. And they knew that baptism meant being immersed in water. There was no question about that. They were familiar with ascetic baptism, and we'll talk just a little bit about the differences between what John and the Essenes taught about baptism and what Peter is teaching about baptism. But they were familiar with how the Essenes ceremonially washed. They knew that they had to have a mikvah, a place that could hold a good bit of water. They could immerse themselves in that water, and that would purify them. So they were familiar with the idea of baptism. No question. And when Peter told them to be baptized, they knew what that meant. Jesus had preached about baptism. We don't think about that very often, but Jesus also preached about baptism and repentance in the kingdom of heaven, and he predicated all of what he preached on the idea that the kingdom of heaven was at hand. You need to get ready to get into the kingdom. And what it's going to take is repentance and baptism. Jesus preached about baptism. The record in the Gospels would indicate that Jesus probably didn't baptize a lot of people. His disciples baptized them. In the same way that Paul later wrote to the Corinthians, and he said, I thank God that I baptized only two people there. There were a lot of people that were baptized based on what the Apostle Paul had said, but the person that's doing the baptizing is not really important. It's the immersion that gets you into the kingdom. In secular discourse, there was the idea of baptism. It was the idea of washings. Now, it later became something entirely unrelated to what John had done, and it was unrelated to what Jesus and his disciples had done. It was unrelated to what those people did on the day of Pentecost, and they heard the sermon. It became something different. It became sprinkling. It became something that we administered not necessarily to achieve the remission of sins, but because of the remission of sins. And we'll talk about that a little bit. But there are a lot of lessons that we can learn from Acts, the second chapter, verse 38. It's a command to be baptized. And you know, the incredible thing about this is that it's something that we have to allow someone else to do. You can't baptize yourself. He says, be baptized. So you have to submit. And when you think about it, it makes a lot of sense because the Jews had rejected God. They wanted to do things their way. And Peter is telling them, if your way doesn't work, you have to submit yourself to baptism. And so that's what they understood. It's a commandment. Every one of us has to do this. We'll talk a little bit about the universality of that commandment next week, but understand that this is a commandment. It's not a suggestion. It's not something that you can do to make it clear to yourself that your sins have been forgiven, or something that you do to make it clear to other people that your sins are forgiven. It's a commandment. It's not a suggestion. The action is familiar. Being immersed in water. That was the same for what Jesus taught, what John taught, what these people did there. The action was very familiar to them. Now the purpose and the effect may have changed. John preached a baptism of repentance. Jesus preached a baptism of repentance. It had nothing to do with being added to the kingdom. It was a baptism of repentance. So the purpose for which they're baptized is different than what they were familiar with. And we can also say that the effect was novel. They had never seen this effect before. Remember, John the Baptist said, I baptize with water, Jesus baptizes with the Holy Spirit. Acts the 19th chapter, when Paul encountered Ephesians who didn't know whether they'd been baptized into Jesus' baptism or not, whether they'd been baptized the way that it was preached in Acts the second chapter. What was the question he asked? Have you received the Holy Spirit? Their response was, well, we were baptized into John's baptism. We don't know anything about the Holy Spirit. We've not even heard of the Holy Spirit. And Paul immediately knew that their baptism was John's baptism, not the baptism that was talked about in Acts 2. And so he took them and baptized them. The action was familiar, being immersed in water, but the purpose and the effect were novel. And there are a lot of people that are immersed in water, but has nothing to do with the effect and the purpose that are described in Acts, the second chapter. We can also learn that we have to allow someone else to immerse us in water. It is, in a sense, ceding self-control, giving up the idea that I am in control. I allow someone to kill me, bury me, and raise me from the dead. You know, I've talked often about having surgery. And the anesthetist came in and he was talking to me. He said, now what I'm going to do is I'm going to take you about that close to being dead. I'm going to slow your heart down so it's beating about once every 4 minutes. But that's okay. I think I can wake you up again. I didn't have any choice. I said, okay. And Kim was listening to all of this, and she was worried. And, you know, in reality, if I died on the operating table, she couldn't do a thing about it. I couldn't do a thing about it. I had to give myself completely into the control of that anesthesiologist. I started counting backwards from 100, and I got to 99 and couldn't remember what comes next. And then the next thing I knew, I was awake and I was in recovery. It worked. He was able to bring me back to life. And that's what we're doing when we submit to baptism. We're saying to someone, yes, you can kill me. You can bury me, and then I'll be raised again. And of course, I don't want to discount the effect that God has on this whole process. The purpose for baptism is forgiveness, it's remission, it's wiping away sin. That's what Ananias told Paul. He said, when Paul wanted to be baptized, why are you waiting? Arise, wash away your sins. At the point that Ananias was talking to Paul, Paul was a believer. He had already acknowledged that he was a believer on the road to Damascus. Jesus appeared to him. He said, what should I do? Here I am, searching out Christians, throwing them into prison. What should I do? He was a believer. And then Ananias said, arise, be baptized, wash away your sins. That's what you still need to do. Pretty simple, Acts the 22nd chapter, when the Apostle Paul recounts the story himself. That's what he said, Ananias told him. And the effect is that we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Just like the men in Acts, the 19th chapter, those Ephesians who had been immersed, but it was the wrong baptism, it was John the Baptist's baptism. And it is this baptism that puts us into the kingdom of heaven, the church on earth, and then in heaven. Did they do it over and over again? Once you're baptized, do you need to be baptized again? That would be something like what the Essenes did. They were baptized, and then they were baptized again, because they knew that they had sinned, and then they were baptized again, and then they were baptized again. Is there any picture of that in the New Testament? No. Once you're dead and raised, you don't need to do that again. By its very nature, it's a one-time event. Once it puts you into the kingdom, it's a one-time event. It's not something that we repeat over and over again. Yes, we're baptized, our sins are washed away, and then we may have sinned again. How do we deal with that? Well, James says, confess your faults one to another, pray one for another that you may be healed. He's writing to people that had been baptized. He says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And so we don't have to be baptized again. We need to repent, pray. That's what we're told. So when we bring this to a conclusion, what's the ultimate lesson? Give thanks to God because of the gift he's given us. Otherwise, we're like the Jews on the day of Pentecost, standing there saying, we killed Jesus. What do we do? It had to be God who was going to give us forgiveness. So give thanks to God because of the great gift that he has given us. If you want to be baptized today, we'll let you do that. If you've been baptized and you've fallen back into sin and you want to return to God, we'll help you do that. We'll pray with you. But we want you to think about it.